Good morning. I am Skip LaCour. It's a brand new day, and this is our morning connection, our ritual. This is the time that you set aside to think about you, what your life is like right now, where you want to go, and most importantly, what do you need to do to make that happen, to make your dream life, what you really want to actually happen. We were pushed and pulled from so many different directions during our day. Once we wake up in the morning and get going, this is a time for you to download this podcast to your phone, listen to it on iTunes, whatever you do, plug in those earphones. And for the time we talk through my stories, through the questions that I ask, you think about you and your life. You take this time to take care of yourself. This podcast is for like-minded people. Hey, you and me, we have this common love and this passion, this commitment to improve the quality of our physiques, training, nutrition, that mindset that goes along with it. Those are our daily patterns. And we are focused on becoming a better person, really taking up our strength a few notches, utilizing them, exploiting our strengths. You know, it's one thing to have all these great things about you. You know, you're smart, you're talented, you've got these certain skills, and people may even tell you that. That's one thing. And God bless you if you do. You're fortunate to have those talents, those strengths, those abilities. It's a whole nother thing to use them so effectively, so efficiently, to their fullest, that you help other people, and by helping other people, you help yourself out. You don't want to just have all these great talents and people just tell you and maybe even know it. You want to use them to their fullest, and you want to use them now, you know, rather than later. You don't want to look back at this time, you know, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, and say, you know, wow, I really loved doing this or that. I was really good at it. I should have made more out of it. Think about that right now. What if you had the last 10 years to live over again? What would you do differently? Man, I can think of a lot of things that I would do differently, but I'll tell you one thing, whatever I was working on, whatever I was good at, things that, you know, I spent a lot of time thinking about my life, what I need to do and improve, where I want to go. If I had the last 10 years over again, I would have done probably a lot of things the same. I would just ramped them up like times 10, you know, not fully appreciating my skills, my strengths, my passions, the opportunities that I've created for myself, and really poured it on. How about you? Do you have some things like that? All right, because, you know, we can't do anything about the 10 years that are in the past. We can do something about what we do in the next month, in the next 6 months, in the next year. So sometimes looking back, you know, that time is gone. And this is the youngest that will ever be in our life. And I don't care if you're 50 years old or 40 years old or 22 years old. And that may seem old to you right now. I know that feeling no matter what age I was at. Oh, I should have done this a long time ago. Or I'm getting too old. And again, it didn't matter if I was 22 or 32. So I can really empathize with those feelings sometimes, no matter what age you're at. But the truth of the matter is, this is the youngest that you'll ever be. You can't do anything about the last 5 years or so, but you can do something about the next 5 years, right? So think about that. What would you do differently to take advantage of this time? Again, I'm talking about really exploiting your strengths. A lot of times people, they focus on their weaknesses. You know, I read this great book. It was called Shine. It was by Larry Thompson. And you know, the book had a lot of great points. Larry Thompson is a Hollywood type producer, executive. He talks about his stories of his success in that industry. But there is one point that it really made an impact on me. He said, in the book, you know, this is pretty much the premise of the book. It's called Shine, is that, you know, in this world, in school, what happens if a student is, let's just say, good at art, right? And they're really good at art, but they're, you know, they're lagging behind. They're not all that great at math. What is the school system? What do most parents do? They have you, the child, put less emphasis on art, right? Less time, energy, effort, less focus. And they work to balance that child out and have them really bear down and put more time, energy, effort, and focus into their math. And I mean, I definitely understand the purpose of that. You know, he explains in the book that the truth of the matter is that child is probably only going to be so good in math. You know, if they're not catching on, you know, they can improve, they can become satisfactory, pretty decent, but they're only going to be so good in math. And in the real world, when that child grows up, you know, basically, you know, addition, subtraction, multiplication, and division is probably all that they need to survive in the real world. All right. So, you know, his thought on that is give them, let them unleash that passion, that energy, that time, so they can be totally outrageously amazing at their art and really shine, rather than de-emphasize that, take them away, have them put less time into that, to and put that energy into something that they're just going to be average at best. You know, think about that. Think about that. What are your strengths? What can you pour more and what can you really highlight? As I was saying, a lot of people spend a lot of time focusing on the negative. What's wrong with me? What I need to improve? They see their shortcomings. That's what's first and foremost in their mind. And I definitely can understand that, and you definitely should work on our weaknesses. If you're the type of person to listen to this podcast, then self-improvement, personal development, personal power, working on your weaknesses is something that you're probably very well aware of, and you really should. My advice to you is to really put more emphasis on playing up your strengths, right? Don't just have them. Really make sure you're exploiting. You're getting the most out of them and giving the world the most out of them. And then, you know, behind the scenes, you're not, you know, just telegraphing, promoting all your weaknesses, all right? You are, you know, keeping them tucked in. You're not forgetting about them. You're not pretending they're not there, but you're behind the scenes working on them while you're camouflaging them to everybody else. So you can present the best version of you to the world and get the most benefits out of it, right? And different way of thinking than most people. And that's what it takes to not only to live the life that you want, right? It's just to be happy, just to be happy. So, you know, I was asked an interesting question, and it made me think about a lot of things that I want to talk about in this podcast. And someone said, you know, Skip, do you ever regret the drug-free path that you took to being a bodybuilder? And that was an interesting question, because usually when people talk to me, it's really they're downgrading what the bodybuilders do. They take steroids and other drugs and all the dangers and all the health concerns and everything. They really hide that, like that out. That's mostly what they talk about. No one's really, you know, talked to me about, do I ever regret doing that? And the answer to that, the short answer is no, I don't. See, I'm not under the illusion that just because you're a bodybuilder and then you just take steroids, then that you're going to be just this amazing superstar contest winning bodybuilder. I mean, obviously, whatever you have, I mean, you're going to be helped out a lot by taking steroids and other drugs. There's no doubt about that. But is that going to be good enough to really win at the level that you want to win? Does that make you a Mr. Olympia competitor? Obviously, there's lots of guys who take drugs that never become a pro bodybuilder, never win the big national contest. Hell, there's probably a lot of people that fall way short of that, right? So, you know, I don't assume that if I would have just taken steroids and other drugs, I would be, you know, Mr. Olympia or fighting out for the top three of Mr. Olympia. That would be a big, big stretch. I mean, I have no idea what the future would have held for me if I would have taken that route. I mean, everybody, you know, talks about all the muscle gains and, you know, everything that comes with it, but, you know, that's no guarantee. I mean, You can have weaknesses that, you know, just get exaggerated even more. Now you're just a little fish playing in the big pond, fighting for that publicity, fighting for those top spots. Who knows? Maybe you would have health concerns. You know, I don't, you know, it's a whole world that I don't know anything about, but I don't just assume that it's going to be so easy. So I took my path, very proud of my path. I really, as a bodybuilder, you know, I set myself up so I'd win in so many ways besides winning the trophy, you know, like writing for the magazines, creating ebooks and DVDs. So, you know, I won on my terms. So, you know, I didn't really spend a lot of time. I mean, you know, being in the bodybuilding circles, going to shows, there were very few bodybuilders that when I would assess them, you know, again, I don't know a lot about their personal life. I don't necessarily talk to them, but there are only a handful that I would say, wow, they've really made something that, you know, again, according to my values, what's important to me, what I think is a big deal and not a big deal. There was only a handful or so that made it to that level where I was impressed that, you know, they created really something out of their efforts as a bodybuilder. So that was another reason why, you know, I had no regrets. I will tell you this, and this is something I've been thinking about lately, is that with social media now, you know, that wasn't around so heavily when I was competing. And I mean, it's pretty obvious that, you know, the top Mr. Olympia, the people, the guys who may or may not be taking drugs, whatever, that they're massively popular, no doubt. And that's always the way that it's been. Again, I didn't really see them making too much out of all that popularity or that type of placing. So to me, I didn't see, wow, look what I'm going, what am I missing out on? I didn't see that big gap. But now I'll tell you this, with social media, you can really see how popular these bodybuilders are. I really had no idea. I can only guess. I can imagine, you know, they would just get publicity in the magazines. Now with the internet and likes and shares on Facebook and, you know, fans and followers, I'm seeing for the first time how massively, massively, massively popular these guys are, especially compared to the natural bodybuilders. I don't know, whoever a natural bodybuilder is, that you know him as a bodybuilder, not like some fitness guy who became really popular doing something that not really a competitor, and he just happens to be natural. I mean, a natural bodybuilder. I don't care. Whoever the most popular one is, very pale in comparison to just run-of-the-mill type pro bodybuilders. And see, I didn't see all that. I didn't know that there was such a gap. And because of social media, these guys are really able to capitalize on this social media and this fan base, meaning more opportunities, more travel, more experiences, more money, more things out of it. You know, so still probably a tough route, but those who make it, I mean, I didn't see all this. I didn't see how massively popular. And another thing that's interesting about that is, you know, the guys who train in the gym, the guys who really aren't into competitive bodybuilding, they're just into working out, right? Those guys will, you know, slam the guys on steroids because really, you know, their focus is building the best physique they can. They're drug-free, and so they'll have respect for drug-free bodybuilders, or everybody should be drug-free, whatever, you know, their beliefs are, right? But for most of the people who are coming in and being fans, regardless of what they would do themselves, regardless of if they would or would not take drugs, they are fans of the bodybuilders, you know. So I'll tell you is that it's kind of like this whole industry is a little fickle, is that the average guys on the message boards and on YouTube and Facebook, they're kind of anti-steroids, anti-drugs for themselves, yet they have no problem really idolizing the IFBB pro bodybuilders that, you know, who have made it to the top. No problems at all making these guys really superstars. Now, I have no problem with that. I mean, hey, life is what it is. You know, I understand. But, you know, in my case, I wonder how I would have looked at all of that back when I was competing, you know, because I assume those guys work really hard. And natural bodybuilders work very, very hard for just a fraction of the publicity. If they even get in a muscle magazine, if they're ever featured on the big websites, like I said, usually if they are, it's not because they have this great physique, because they're all great. It's really because of something unique they bring to the table. They just happen to be natural. So I wonder, you know, how that I would have viewed all of that, knowing that I worked that hard, I did all that, and just for just a tiny fraction of the fan base. And again, with that fan base and all those likes and shares and follows, there comes a lot of opportunities. And these guys are getting smarter about taking advantage of these opportunities. But, you know, and there's a natural bodybuilder, really advocate, who's been working for a long time, Jim Evans. And he talks about that a lot. He talks about how, you know, the fans, you know, they say they want anti-steroids, yet they really promote, publicize the guys on steroids. Now, everybody has their choice. But again, you can see that kind of that conflict between how people view this whole bodybuilding thing. That's just, I guess, one more complexity of this whole thing. But anyway, that was an interesting question. Ask me in a different way. Which really brings me to my second point. Forget about bodybuilding. Forget about steroids or drug-free or whatever. You know, what I wanted to ask you, because this is about you, all right? With all this social media, all right? Facebook, Twitter, all the message boards, is right there on your phone. Everywhere you go, you're addicted to it. You're looking at it all the time. You're passionate about bodybuilding and training. My question is this. All your friends, people who are your peers, your same age, they live in maybe your same town, and forget about the bodybuilding and training. What about what's going on in their life? Maybe their relationships, you know, the places they're traveling, all the things they're buying, the cars that they're driving, all the things that are going on in their life, all the comments, right? How does that affect you? Think about that for a second. How does that affect you? And how do you use those sources? What if it's someone who you consider your peer and he's doing massively better than you, right? Or at least the appearance is there. He has, you know, a hotter wife, bigger house, better car, better job, seems to be traveling all over the place. How does that affect you? All right. You know, I'm going to be open here about how I used to be and what I now do. I fight my natural instinct, right? So, you know, when I would see people who, you know, are my peers or my competitors, and, you know, by my own admission, they're doing well. You know, I'm not one of those guys who's a hater. I mean, I can see when somebody's doing well, you know, and it's really nothing about them as far as an uneasy feeling that they may give me. It's nothing that they've done. You know, I'm not one of those guys. Ah, that guy's a jerk. He's an idiot. He doesn't deserve anything. He's a liar. He's a cheater. You know, I don't do all that stuff. I can see their successes and they proudly post it on Facebook or social media, right? All the fun places do. See, but I have this belief that it's never about the other person. It's really about you, how it makes you feel. And I'll just be open. Sometimes I see these people with these magnificent things going on in their own lives, and doesn't make me feel real good. Makes me, because, you know, if you're pushing yourself, you're always wondering, can I do this better? Sure, you appreciate the things that you've accomplished, but you want more and more and more and more. You're trying to figure out, again, this puzzle, this game, this combination, like on how to get the most out of life, become your best you, enjoy the most options available, right? And sometimes you go through those periods of time, you just can't figure it out. And so you see some of your peers, someone you consider, it's easy if someone is, you know, they're just so much further along. Maybe they've been doing it so long. They're so far above you that, hey, you just give them their props. You know, that doesn't threaten you at all. It doesn't make you feel bad. It's just, they're just in another league. It's easy to not let those people affect you. But how about the people who are right around you? Your same, you know, you put yourself in the same group and they appear to be doing so much better than you. How does that make you feel? Does that inspire you to work harder? Does that depress you? Right? Is that like a sock in the stomach? And then you just do whatever you can. Maybe what do? Just get off their page, delete them as friends, do your best to just avoid seeing their posts, seeing their pictures, seeing the stories about their life, seeing their success, because it just makes you feel bad, right? Or do you look for all their weaknesses and really emphasize, well, yeah, but this, that, you know, I don't know, he's short or he doesn't have that, or how happy can he be? Start speculating that even with his success, that you even admit that he has achieved a certain level of success. Right, but you're gonna make up things that make that picture rose. Oh yeah, but I bet he's not happy because of this and this. What do you do in those situations? Right. Well, you know how I would handle those. My natural instinct is, you know, like I said, I'm not the kind of guy who's a hater, man. I can see, you know, somebody's doing something right. I also have this belief, and I've shared this with you. If you see something, if you read something, and you have this type of, you know, actual physical reaction, whether it makes the hair tingle on the back of your neck or on your forearms, or it's like a sock in the gut, or makes you your heart heavy, you know, you get some type of physical reaction by something. That's telling you something. Not, and it's not them, they're just delivering a message the way you feel about yourself. It's making you know that there's something in your life that you need to address, you need to be thankful for, maybe on a positive note, that how you want to feel more of, or you need to get your ass in gear and work harder and make more out of your talents and work harder, because if they can do it, you can do it too. And you've known this all the time, that you need to push yourself harder, you need to make things happen, find a way, work longer, harder, smarter, do the things that you don't like, and now you just see this guy doing so well, and it has nothing to do with him. It has everything to do with you, that you already know that. You've been telling yourself to kick things up a notch for the last 6 months, last year, but then you soften and go, no, I'm doing okay. Let's look at the bright side. You know what? Can't have everything. Or whatever you tell yourself, but it's all bullshit. You don't really believe it. You just can't deal with it. And then, boom, this guy is achieving at a certain level. And make things, shit, you can't avoid it. It's not about him. It's about the stories and the battle that you have within yourself. If you have that real physical reaction to something, either good or bad. Right? So that's the first sign for me. And again, I'm not a person who will discredit. Man, when I see someone who's successful, if someone is grabbing my attention and getting some emotional reaction out of me, whether I'm inspired or jealous, I guess, or, you know, I get some type of physical reaction out of them. They change my emotional state. Man, they're doing something right. Because in this world of 7 billion people and all the different media outlets, I mean, if they can get that type of reaction, they're doing something right. Maybe not the way that I would do it. Maybe not. But if you're thinking about it, you know, the next day or a few days later, if they're getting you all riled up, there's a message there. They must be doing something right. Out of all this noise going on, they were able to cut through it and affect you. See, I don't take that lightly. I think that's an accomplishment all by itself. Right, there's something I can learn from that. Right, so I'm not the hater guy. But I would say my way of avoiding it is that I'd always skip through their page. I don't want to see it. You know what I mean? I nothing against them, but I don't want to be reminded of the things I feel I'm falling short on, or that, wow, it seems like they're just, wow, taking it to this next level. I'm just going to avoid it. Right, so that's my natural reaction to those situations. How about you? What is it that you do? All right, is that the best thing that's going? Is that the best thing that's going to help you in the long run? The source of inspiration, of their thought-provoking self-assessment. Are you using it that way, or are you just avoiding it, pretending like it didn't happen? Or it's probably worse, is you beating them down and making up things that are probably going horribly in their life to make yourself feel better, right? I'll tell you, so I told you my way of handling it many times, just to avoid it. Don't go to that page. Just avoid looking at it. You know, skip right through it. And what I've done is I've conditioned myself to do just the opposite. What I do is I force myself to deal with that. I look at it. And I look at them. You know, there's this book, Secrets of a Millionaire Mind. And one of the secrets he talks about is T. Harv Eker. It's a great little book, easy read. Talks about, you know, how wealthy people think. And this can be wealthy physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. And he talks about that when someone does something well, they're awesome, they're successful, that you take the time to respect and appreciate and acknowledge their success. And the message is, I guess it comes from some American Indian proverb or something like that, and there's some saying for it, or maybe it was Hawaiian, I'm not quite sure. I don't remember. But the point is that if you can look at somebody's success and appreciate all the greatness, even though you don't have it, in your mind, you'll be more likely to achieve that success yourself. And I guess the theory is that if you are a hater, right, if you think that you're hating this guy because of his success, well, in the back of your mind, if you know it or not, when you're trying to achieve that success that you want to have the house, the home, the cars, the opportunities, the travel, eating at the places you've been, whatever he has, if you really want those things, in the back of your mind, on your way towards working towards them, and definitely if you were to even achieve all that, in the back of your mind, you'll be thinking you are attracting so many haters to you, like you were a hater back in the day. And that's even if you ever get to that point. Does that make sense? And, you know, I really believe one of people's common needs is to be liked by other people, to be accepted by other people. And, you know, some people need that more than others. But think about that. You say you want to achieve success. There's someone who is one of your peers who is achieving success. And you're hating on them. You're looking for the negative, right? You want to be liked by people. You're doing whatever it takes. And as you know, success, regardless of what it may seem like with other people, it's a tough road. You know, I was talking to my wife the other day, and we have a lot of talks. She gets to hear all these little one-on-one podcasts, motivational podcasts, right? And so she talks about, you know, something that, you know, she's doing, and how she, you know, tries like, I don't know, five times, someone doesn't call her back or does this or does that, right? And I just tell her, I go, you know, you're pushing yourself in areas you haven't before, to a level you haven't before. And what you don't understand is that's what successful people do. I said, you see me pounding away every single day, and how, you know, nothing happens right the first time. It takes me 5, 6, 10, 20 times to get everybody in line to actually make something happen. And then after all that work, all those tries, you know, getting knocked down, dusting myself off and trying it again, and then finally getting to work, that whole plan only works to the level I expected. At the most, 1 out of 10 times. That's a lot of trying. That's a lot of regrouping and getting your confidence back up. That's a lot of rejection, failure, frustration. It's a lot of getting back up and trying again to have a success rate that's probably 1 out of 10 on a project at the most. There's a lot of failure that goes along with success. And what I was telling her is that that's just normal. There's nothing wrong with you. You're not, people, it isn't that, you have all these flaws or shortcomings, like you should have had this done after the second time or immediately. No, that's what it takes successful people to do. You probably have five more failures or five more people who aren't going to call you back, or it's going to be five times more difficult to get it done. So you may only be halfway there as far as the failures and setbacks that you're experiencing before you actually make it happen. So no, there's nothing wrong with you. That's just what it takes, right? So what do you do with these successful people? I mean, if you're bashing them, what are you going to do as you go through those journeys? You got to try and fail, and you can't get it going, and you know, you want to quit, you want to take the easy path, you want to forget about it, you want to put it on the side, but you persist. Then it finally happens, and then that whole plan doesn't work. You go through that whole process 10 times just for one success, right? And then you got to hurry up and do that 10 more times just so you have two successes in life. And then you got to hurry up and do it 40 times so you have four. And then what's going to happen is those four successes that you got out of all that trying and all that failing and all those setbacks, those four are going to produce that level of success that you want. And really, it's going to be about 40, and you're going to try 400 things. And that's just how success works. So you already know this. You have quite a challenge in front of you to become that successful person, to enjoy the great things in life that you really want, right? What if in the back of your mind, you're thinking, wow, I'm getting the success and everybody's hating on me, because I remember I hated on people in my position, right? So what that Hawaiian or American Indian proverb basically said is, man, love, respect, high five, you know, appreciate. Say to yourself when you're on Facebook, just for the discipline of it, just for you, not for them, say, hey, good job, Joe. That's freaking awesome. You're really getting some things done. Hey, Joe, congratulations. Man, seems like Hawaii is a great place. Those are some great pictures with your family. That's what I suggest that you do. That's what I've, after, you know, kind of thinking about this whole process, like I said, I think that was that book when I read that years ago kind of sparked that in my mind. I don't do it for them. I don't need to reach out to them and say, hey, you're doing a good job. I'm not doing it for them. Remember, that person just makes you think about you, right? So get on Facebook today. Go to those guys that maybe seem to be doing so well and they make you feel uncomfortable, and just say, good job, Joe. Good job, Mary. Good job, Frank. That's awesome. I'm going to achieve that someday. Do what's counterintuitive. Do the opposite of what your gut reaction tells you so you can build that strong mind, right? And so as you're going through the grind and as you achieve that success, you know there's people out you who are rooting for you, not hating on you. All right, so that's our Morning Connection podcast today. Have a great day, and we'll connect again tomorrow.